All right. Avoiding social media pitfalls is what I've labeled this. It's kind of the subtitle of this chapter. Just to take a survey in this room, how many people in this room have Facebook? How many people in this room have anything else, like Instagram? And
I don't like it.
You, what do you have, Kathy?
Well, I have Instagram so I can listen to Jesse.
Okay. For the podcasts?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they talk about people being on social media on Instagram. And all I do are podcasts.
Right.
So
I'll have to look at what you have. You can do that without being on Instagram. So,
I'm not Instagram.
The thing is, they're all related. Every one of them have the same, which really surprised me because I pulled aside my social media expert, young Krista, who has basically experimented with them all. And she says, they're basically all the same. I said, then why are they out there? Why are there several of the same thing? It's just a matter of advertisement. We'll get into a little bit of that. I'm only on Facebook. I've never had a desire for the other ones because they're basically the same thing. And I don't have time to catch up on some of those things. But that's us old people. You know, the young people, they don't know a world outside of what they have right now. So they think this is the norm. So social media is everywhere. And there are so many different forms of social media. And we can look up information about absolutely anything. No longer are the days where someone is saying, I remember back when this happened. And someone over here says, no, that's not what happened. I remember we used to have arguments about that. What do we do? Get our phones out. Let's see who's right. You know, that's where it's kind of nice to have information like that. And it's very handy when you just need the facts about something. We can search the internet for just about anything. The problem is that much of the stuff we look up is not necessarily neutral. There are actual people that get paid. They're called influencers. I didn't know anything about this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Remind me to talk about influencers when we get to Instagram. They influence you to purchase things that you see even in everyday advertisements. Like a powerful riptide, it can take us off course with messages that threaten to blur our minds and suffocate our faith. Social media in and of itself is not sinful, just like TV is not sinful. You know, we have our own old-fashioned social media. It's TV. TV is where we sit and stare and don't really engage our minds. The platform of social media can be used in ways that are profitable and God-honoring. In bold categories, positive things about social media is staying in contact with family members who live far away and can stay connected through pictures and written conversation. We didn't have the ability to send pictures to people that live across the country. Point number two, social media posts can be uplifting and even spiritually encouraging when the person writing the article's goal is to be edifying. But social media can be dangerous. We cannot be ignorant of the hidden power of social media. If we as Christians assume these platforms are entirely neutral or mostly positive, we are being deceived. Like everything else in our lives, we must be discerning with what we take in to our thought life and to our lives and what we spend our time on. Technology is great, but as we depend more and more on that phone we have in our hands, we must realize that it is drawing us into a whole different way of thinking and viewing truth. Our author says, this chapter is an appeal for Christians to recognize that the world of media is influencing us in ways that we may not even realize. And that's something that you have to think about, because sometimes you can get so swept away, you have to think, wow, how did I get over here? And that takes the discerning person to understand that. I look at some of these things and they're just not a temptation to me, but they are for 20 some year olds. You know, we look at this, we're so old, I'm sorry, I'm just putting us all in the category, that we don't have time for that. But those young people are still figuring out, you know, this is information, do I need to know this? And we'll get into that in a bit here. Our author has a quote, another quote I want to discuss. It says, if we are not careful, we can subtly draw away from meaningful conversations, thinking, planning, dreaming, praying, and even playing together, and be swayed instead into meaningless hours of scrolling down and texting away. For the most part, I agree with this statement, but I remember when texting first came out, and a lot of people said it's going to kill the conversation between families, it's going to kill the conversation between people, and I found it helped my conversation with my boys. When they were willing to text more than they were willing to listen to mom on the phone or even answer if I called. So that platform of information for me to communicate with my boys ended up being better. But once again, if it's the only way you communicate, which some people, and I'm surprised at that, some people, that's the only way they communicate with people, you're going to miss out on any intimacy or even seeing what they look like. I know I've received texts and I'm thinking, what did that mean? Well, they had no intention of how I took it. And until you're talking face to face with someone, you see their face and you understand, oh, that's what they mean. Or if I say, what did you mean by that? Oh, that's right. That doesn't get cleared up in texting. In fact, you can go on for a while thinking this is what this person thinks. And then maybe when you're face to face, my point is, if you develop a relationship through texting, then it's going to be deceived, and we'll get into that a little bit longer. Mindless scrolling. I've done it before. When I'm done with the evening and when we're watching TV, I can just mindless scroll in Facebook, just little videos. And it's a form of entertainment, but what I've noticed with some of these is the influence. There are, if you happen to Google something, that comes up all the time. I've even understood that sometimes it picks up things you say. I remember Jacob talking about a certain game that he wanted. The next day, that was coming on my phone. That advertisement was coming on my phone. So you just have to be real careful what you put in when you're searching something. Okay, let's define the social media platforms. You're going to find that they're very similar in their goals: to share information and get information, personal or public. Feel free to stop and ask questions. Facebook, you can set up an account and you approve of the friends that can view whatever you post. So you set up an account and then you can send friend requests. I'd like to be your friend, Judy. And she has to accept it before she can see anything that I write. You can post pictures, articles, and you can say whatever you want to say. We talked about the positive things about Facebook earlier, and I want to get more specific why the reasons that I keep Facebook. Facebook is very dangerous in that you can exalt yourself. And you can also deceive other people with what you say about yourself, not only in your own personal posts, but what I'm finding is when someone else posts something and then you can comment on their posts. I'm reading things from people and I know these people and they're painting a really nice picture of who they are. You can deceive people in the way you're thinking. The reason that I keep my Facebook is I'm able to see if there's a need. A lot of time church people will say, hey, for VBS in my room, I need this. Does anybody have this? I really like that because we can say, yeah, I got that. I've given away a lot of furniture with Facebook, or given away stuff that I just want someone to be able to use something. Facebook's good for that. It's becoming a new way of communicating events like graduation parties or even things here at church. Sometimes there's Titus Tuesday things. There's a Titus Tuesday page where we can look up, you know, what's the schedule. It's more of a convenient way of looking at that. All those things can be looked up on the website. I like also being available to sign up for a meal train. A meal train is when someone maybe has a baby and we want to provide meals for them for the next 2 weeks. So someone sets up a meal train and you can sign up for a specific date. I can sign up, put my name in, what I'm going to bring, and that night I can bring food for that. Also, there's GoFundMe accounts where if there's a person in need of a financial situation, you can look and see this is something you want to contribute to. And also being able to praise the Lord for answered prayer or any applicable scripture. You know, when I post things on Facebook, it will be in this realm. You know, I need this. And then once it's filled, I delete it. I don't leave it on there. I delete it. Anytime I have an opportunity to praise the Lord for something, I have found that that's encouraging because some of my old past high school classmates who weren't believers are believers now. They comment on it, and then I'm able to message them personally with nobody else and having a conversation with them. That's about all that's good about it. You can post pictures for people to see, but you can, in this day and age, I can send individual pictures to people. I don't have to post it for everyone to see. Now, Instagram is more of a platform for photos and videos. It's a more simplified version of Facebook. Who can see your photos? You have to ask to be approved by the person if you want to see the photos. Instagram has a stories feature where you can just post pictures all day if you want. And in 24 hours, the pictures are gone. It's just called a story, what you're doing today. Once again, we're drawing attention to ourselves with things that we're doing. Some people like just to look at other people's stories. We're getting in other people's business. I mean, there's nothing biblical about all these platforms when it comes to just getting to know people and getting, it's a form of entertainment for them. But we can think of specific verses that contradict everything I'm talking about. So, these seemingly innocent pictures also can also be people called influencers. And I asked Krista, I said, how do they do that? If it's a normal, I can take a picture right now. And if I had Instagram and I could take a picture of you guys and say, hey, I'm doing a lesson on this and I can post it on Instagram and all my followers can see what I'm doing. I said, how do influencers get in that? Well, they say, hi, I'm going on a trip to Colorado and these are 10 essential things you got to have if you're mountain climbing. And then there'll be products. And they'll it looks like they're not selling them. They're just saying, hey, I really find this to be useful. They don't say anything more about it. But that product gets advertised that way without you knowing it's being, and they call them influencers. You can earn a living by being an influencer, making videos that look like everyday videos. You can follow those people if you like what they say. Yeah, I learned a lot with that. And then these influencers can, I had no idea. This is all new to me. Pinterest.
So everything disappears in 24 hours?
No, that's only on the stories page. You can keep it. It's very similar to Facebook. Very similar. Now, Pinterest is a site for finding helpful ideas. It's a little bit different than everything else. It's a discovery engine for finding things like recipes, ideas for parties, clothing, anything you can think of. When we went to Girls of Grace Camp, the girls wanted an ocean theme for the room. So I got on Pinterest.com and I just put ocean theme decorations. Had wonderful, not anything specific, but wonderful ideas of what you can make. It's more of a, I got this octopus idea by putting rings together. But there will be some advertisement on that. But it gives you an idea of how to do things. If you want to find a recipe for something, you can just Google that. You don't even have to get on Pinterest for that. The target audience of Pinterest is 35 to 44, so they don't care about us. So don't worry about getting on. But 50% of all people that use Pinterest fall in this category. So it's not the real young, and it's not the old. It's the middle age that want, is there a money-saving way I can do this? Go ahead.
I do use Pinterest.
ideas for recipes. And the thing I like about it is then people will comment, and if there's something you're going to make, they'll say, well, this works better than this. And so
there's extremely helpful things with that. I agree. Like I Googled a baked bean recipe. I knew there was one that had certain ingredients that I made one time. So I Googled that. I found the recipe. And it says you can substitute this if you don't have, it's helpful. So there's some helpful things with that. If you want to find something, you can Google anything if you don't know how to do something. I remember even the scooter that I have, I Googled, and Andrew usually helps me out with that, but he wasn't around. So I Googled, how do I change this out? Very specific. I mean, anything, these YouTube videos. So it is helpful. How do you change a light in your car of your taillight? You know, you can, it helps. It's helpful. So, I mean, Jacob has learned everything that he knows how to do through just Googling it. So he just Googles it, and this is how you do it. And we're talking like stairs and things that he builds. And so it's a helpful engine. It's just, it has some dangerous things with it. All right, Twitter. You know, Twitter is like texting. I mean, it's still the same. It's a quick way to communicate. Once again, you can have a Twitter account that's private or public. And I asked Krista again, can you respond to Twitters? I thought it was just an information. I looked up. Donald Trump has 88 million followers. Okay, so when he tweets something, that's what you call it,
yeah,
it goes out to 88.9 million people. Because you can follow anybody. I could follow him on my Twitter account, and so everything that he tweets, I get to read. And you can do that with Tom Hanks. You can do that with movie stars. You can do that, and that's the time waster. But I said, can you respond to those? She said, oh, absolutely. That's how Donald Trump got in trouble. People started responding to some of the things he said, and there was, you know, it's just amazing. So, all stuff I learned. Bottom line, and there's TikTok too, which is very dangerous because there's nothing good about that. You're just watching videos people make. TikTok was behind the ice bucket challenge, if you remember that. People would make money for, what was it? It was some disease, but you took,
ALS,
right. You took, and it seems, oh, that sounds noble. I'll do that. And you posted it on TikTok so people could watch all the ways people were getting dumped with ice water. But that has no value at all except entertainment. And that's, I know nothing about it, but from what I understand, China owns that, and they can get your information through TikTok, and so.
And Messenger, I don't know how you classify that.
What's that?
Messenger.
Well, there's several messengers. You mean Facebook Messenger?
Yeah, well, I think so. Supposedly, if I wanted to talk to you through Messenger, I don't know if there's different ones or not.
Yeah, Facebook messaging is exactly like texting.
And I have found that some of it's wanting somebody's money is all false.
Oh, yeah. You have to be real careful with that. But yeah, when I see a need, Myrna, like on Facebook, like it's a general plea, hey, does anybody have this? I will usually message. I will not reply because everybody sees your reply.
Yeah.
And I just go directly to them. If I have their number in my phone for texting, I will text them even instead of... Yeah, but the Facebook messaging is just like texting. So, and look how much time we have spent talking about this nonsense. It is a waste of time. It's a good way to communicate. And we as older people, just it's not as big a draw, but boy, it is for the young people. And it's just because their form of message, they don't stare and, you know, none of my boys have cable. TV is just not... It's just not a part of their lives. They have internet, and they can look up movies, but I'm surprised none of them have cable. None of them care to watch sports. None of them care to... I mean, they will, but it's more of the internet because they can pull up any show anytime. I don't have to wait till 8 o'clock to watch a show. I can pull that up on Hulu. That's a TV engine. So,
isn't it basically like any tool that we have? You can use it for good, or you can use it for bad. It's neutral. It's how you use it.
Yeah, it's like anything else in our lives. You know, if I have a problem with, we're talking about porn, it's so readily available, which is really too bad, because you had to go purchase a magazine back in our day. It just wasn't as available. If you're going to have a problem in an area, you'll find a way to feed that problem. So,
and that's the difference, is the accessibility.
It's so accessible.
Yeah.
And it's private.
The depth of the depravity of that.
It's terrible.
That are available, yeah, are much worse than that.
Yeah.
And when you think about in our own lifetime, in just a few short years, actually, to have cell phones, to have texting, to have Facebook and all these others, children in kindergarten are having cell phones and having access. And when you think about it, man is a sinful man. So how is he going to use a cell phone? Why was it such a quick gadget for people of all ages and all categories to accept and have it as a part of their life? Because he saw that it was a very useful tool for sin.
Yeah, and I think originally, they don't think that.
No.
They just want to be able to communicate with their friends. But what happens is you start Googling things, and then you accidentally mm-hmm. fall on these sinful sites. And then it becomes, it's kind of like the law. I didn't know this was bad until I saw that it was bad. And the draw comes after that. Yes, probably now our kids are informed way more than we ever were. Yeah.
So you have people that are on their phone, and you walk past them, and they're talking to this thing that's in their ear. They don't even know that you passed them.
Right.
They're in their own world of reality.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that too. But that's part of the problem. You have to have limits, and you have to have courtesy, and things like that. With all this fast-paced information, it's hard to figure out sometimes whether this is good for me to know or not. At any rate, what we read influences us, and we have to understand that what we read affects our minds. And we know that, and what we dwell on. All types of ads, whether they are on social media or not, promote what?
Greed.
Yeah, discontentment. I if I'm seeing an ad, it usually promotes what I have is not good enough. Discontentment. Yeah, and greed and jealousy and all that. That's how they get us to buy their product. Your car is not nice enough. This peanut butter is better. I mean, even with the simplest things. And it can promote lusting, not only sexually, but for something that I just have to have no matter what. You deserve this. How many commercials do we see with women that say, you deserve this? So, okay, what does the Bible say? Just first John 2. And each one of these categories, I just picked out a couple verses that contradict, and it wasn't hard. You know, it's not hard to contradict. It's not hard to find the sin in this.
Do not love the world.
Yep. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and this is why I got this, because this is what happens. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, we see this and we want it and we got to have it. And the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust. Praise the Lord. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We have to understand that the things that we continue to put our minds in, even if we think at the time it's innocent, this is just entertainment. But as you continue to dwell on those things, the Bible's very clear. If you don't stop that, it will get worse. There's no such thing as neutral information. It either is going to be a distraction and draw you away from God, or it's going to draw you toward God. I went to James 3 because it's very clear about what godly wisdom is and worldly wisdom is. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, a lot of times when you're watching that information and you see someone, they don't deserve that. And selfish ambition, I need that for myself. In your heart, do not become arrogant, so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. I think this next verse is extremely scary. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. It's an incredible thing when you have a heart of jealousy or you are have selfish ambition that it is demonic. And you think, oh, that's not a big deal. Yeah, it's a very big deal. And then we know the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And you don't have to turn to Philippians, but you know what this is. It talks about our mind. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So you can take everything that you're reading on Facebook, minus the times when you're looking for a recipe or look, you know, something that's helpful. It's just that mindless scrolling where I don't care. Oh, that's kind of fun. That was a fun video to see. I'm a sucker for fun videos, but I have to stop myself after two or three because they can just go on forever and ever and ever. Also, if you go down in Philippians, we talk about that discontentment. And Paul reminds us in verse 11 that not I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's just reminding us that if you're looking at something and, oh, I wish I had that, you have to get a light bulb in your head saying, this is promoting discontentment in my life. I have to think according to my means, and I need to learn to be content with what I have. Stop filling your minds with things that make you be discontent. All right, warnings to be aware of with social media. I thought his little subcategories were really good, so I'm going to spend a little time on each one. False view of intimacy. This is what we talked about earlier, that when you're texting someone, you don't really know who they are. An artificial view of interpersonal relationship and social engagement. One thing we can do on Facebook once we are friends is we can like or love a picture or an article. It's just one little click. If we get a lot of likes on something, we have a tendency to think that we are being well-liked by people because everybody loves my picture. One thing that hasn't changed, true biblical friendship requires a sense of biblical love, appreciation, loyalty, and honesty with the other person. That kind of trust is only developed with the in-person interaction. Some relationships, I love it when they say, I met him on the internet. That is, you can paint such a good picture of yourself as you communicate via texting, or even if you do a FaceTime, you can present yourself. How do you really get to know someone? Be with them 2 weeks or something like that. But you can really paint a false picture of who you are if you aren't with someone face to face. Why are we more comfortable connecting with online than in person? Why do we like doing that? I think I answered it. I kind of answered it.
I don't. See, the assumption is that you do, but I don't. I want to know the person. I don't want to, you know.
But we can text about it, Judy. I'm being a devil's advocate.
Yeah, but still, you don't know. you don't know what they mean by what they say.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just seeing them react in everyday life, we don't see that. We don't, you know, it's a false sense of intimacy. oh, I really love you. I really love you too. Good night. I love you so much. And you think you're very, very close to this person and you don't even know them. So we are content. I thought he had a great line. We are content to have friends. You can have friends on Facebook without friendships. I can call you a friend. You know, your friend. You know, we're friends on Facebook. Judy and I are friends on Facebook.
We are.
Yeah, we are. Are we? Maybe we aren't.
You know what?
I don't think we are. Now that I think about it, I'll give you a friend request tonight.
No.
What's funny is when Facebook first came out, I was friends with a lot of people. And then there was content that I was tired of reading. So I started unfriending a ton of people. And now I got it down to a nice core of people that...
Yeah.
And half the time, which makes you so mad, I don't see anything they're posting. I get advertisements. Every other thing I'm reading is advertisement. Now, you can hide those ads, but they, you know, more come up. It's just, it's amazing. So, all right. Texting is also a distraction on the other end for the people you are with. You know, I have to be careful with this too. If I'm texting someone, like Shelly and I will go out for lunch and I'll say, I'm sorry, I got to answer this text. At least acknowledge if you have to do that and make sure that's okay with the other person. But, you know, we've talked about kids like you were talking today. You know, you were sitting at a table and all the kids, they didn't even look up once. So, you know, I can do better at that too because everything I text can wait. So it's being courteous to the people around you. So, but anytime I have to text or she does the same thing, I need to answer this text. Absolutely. Because I know I have to do that sometimes, especially with family and stuff. So.
When I was working on the floor and we'd go to lunch, most of the young women that I was working with, there were one or two that we could chat the whole time, but most of the time they were on their phone and I would try to start up a conversation. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, and then I would just give up.
Yeah, the phone is, you just have to constantly evaluate. This has been good for me to study because this has made me much more patient than I used to be. When I go into a doctor's office and I'm the only one there and I have to wait for 45 minutes, I'm just, this... If I'm with nobody else, I play games. I'm not on social media, but I do play games on there.
Uh-huh.
But that's made me more patient. But then I have to understand, now don't get addicted to those games. I'm on this level. If I could just get to that next, then you start, that becomes a priority. So everything has to be within the realm of what you like. It's the social media that people can watch and look at for 2 or 3 hours. That will affect you. And as a believer of my age and hopefully maturity, I start looking at that and I identify, wow, this is not good for our young people to look at. And then I put it aside and do something else.
They lose the art of knowing how to have a conversation.
Right. And, you know, I think that's very true that our young people, Jacob had his family not even be on. Rachel was on Facebook for several years just because he didn't like what was the content out there. My boys don't spend hardly any time on Facebook or in social media. Their wives probably do, but I don't know. Guys probably don't as much. Oh, yeah, they do. They can't. They can be addicted to the stuff. You just have to sit down and make it a biblical issue. Don't make it a preference issue. Well, texting is all awful. You're going to have to come up with more than that. What are you dwelling on? What are you thinking about? Are you able to put it down? Now, a lot of young podcasts are taking social media fasts, seeing if they can go without it for a week, and they're having a hard time. Anything that controls you, then you need to put it away for a while. So it's, you know, it's addicted. It's addictive, especially if you get your self-worth from it. You feel like this is making me feel good. And it's an avoidance. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's an avoidance of my responsibilities. I feel overwhelmed with this. I need to take a break. I'm in a painful situation. I need, you know, it's a form, it's a drug. So, all right. So, bottom line is, written text to each other is fine. We all do it. You know, Rita texted Judy. She's not going to be here tonight. That's very convenient, because if Rita called Judy, Rita is taking Judy's time to call her. When she texts her, Judy can look at that at her convenience. There's no interruption. We can look at it at her convenience. It's funny, these young people get mad if you don't respond right away. You know, I don't always respond right away. And they think, why aren't you sitting on their phone? Because they do. They have it right here. They go about life and it's right here. So, all right, what does the Bible say? Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by reading a lot of scrolls. No, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Identify things that are of the world. And don't be a hypocrite. I think with this, a false view of intimacy. Don't be a hypocrite thinking that, you know, I'm a great person. And Luke 6:42 talks about, or how you can you say to your brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye. A lot of times we have opinions about social media, and we're very critical when someone doesn't line up with what we think about it. You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And then Romans 12:10, I just put on here, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be kind to one another. Like Adeline said, you know, when we're sitting and somebody wants to have a conversation with you, put your phone down. Care about what they're doing. And, you know, I always think if I'm in a deep conversation with someone and I'm actually talking about spiritual things with that person, if I text them and say, I can't talk right now, I will be able to talk in 10 minutes, that usually takes care of it. Communicate that. Point number two, it creates isolation. Boy, does it. If we are constantly distracted by our devices, we slowly detach ourselves from family and friends. Our author says this kind of isolation is spiritually dangerous. Being alone from the physical presence of others can invite temptation and create opportunities to sin. How could it not? You're sitting with your device by yourself at home. How could it not lead to temptations? We fool ourselves into thinking no one is watching. COVID was not good for this. A Zoom meeting for church was convenient. Because I remember coming home from doing the paper out and thinking, I don't have to hurry here, and I can watch the service in my pajamas while I'm eating breakfast. You know, it was convenient. But it was not good for the social aspect of holding one another accountable. When we get to the point where we prefer to be alone and the thought of being with people makes us unhappy, we have a problem. Now, not all of us love people, but when it comes to rubbing shoulders with people that edify us, that encourage us to godliness, we should desire them. Our devices have been our companions during the time of COVID, because there is no effort with forbearance and forgiveness. When you think about dealing with people, it's not fun all the time. A lot of us, especially as we get older, I'd just rather be alone than have to deal with their attitudes. But how do you develop forbearance? How do you develop forgiveness? How can you show someone love when they don't deserve it? What the Bible says, Hebrews 10, you know I'm going to go there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't know how you can encourage someone if you're not around them. I can say all those great things on a text, but coming alongside someone, putting your arm around someone, it's unduplicated. And also Luke 6 talks about dealing with people we don't like. And we can't, you know, if we're isolating ourselves, we definitely are going to give people we don't like the time of day. But God says we have, Jesus actually said this in Luke 6, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want to treat them. Basically, that was what the verse I was looking for. And then I saw all that above that. We want to treat others the way we want to be treated. These verses remind us that we are to be interacting with not only people we like, but even our enemies. Okay, point number three, we feel smarter than we are. That makes you, anytime you can get a lot of information, we feel like we're smart. Accumulating lots of information is not the same as growing in one's intelligence. I thought that was really good. Critical thinking is a slow and careful process of interacting with ideas and facts. We have replaced deep thinking about the essential matters of life with clicking on articles about facts and then thinking I have become knowledgeable about that fact just simply because I read it. I have not thought about it. I have not thought through it. I have not sifted it through scripture. I've just read it, and therefore I'm knowledgeable about it. I thought this was a good point too. Social media has changed the way we process information. We don't. We have just stopped processing information. We just take it and believe it. We're not thinking through it, sifting it. Were you saying something?
Well, and often sound bites, like little things.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we can't read a quippy saying of something because we only are going to give it 15 seconds to read it. And so we're not thinking.
Yeah. I thought, because when I was reading this in the book, and he really had a lot of good quotes. If you haven't read the chapters, it's good to peruse it, because he's really got a lot of good things. Because he said, social media has changed the way we process. Okay, what's he going to say? We don't. We don't process it. And he's got a very good point.
They're teaching kids. Eva says, I said, don't you ever have a book to read? No, we just read everything. And so she doesn't ever have to write anything or read a book. You know,
interesting.
A little bit. That's how they teach in school. Mm. How do you learn anything?
But they're teaching them how to deal with just finding stuff on the internet. You don't have to read anything when you can find it on the internet.
Ask the question and get your answer. Don't have to hunt.
I've often wondered how they don't cheat in college. You know, we had to write a paper on certain things. You could Google that and find numerous papers, you know, and just reword some things. I don't know how they don't cheat, but they probably cheat, and maybe the professor is just thinking as long as they can find the information, then good. I don't know. Judy was just talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I need a report on the Civil War, and they'll write it for you.
Right. Yeah. Now, what does that mean again, Judy? AI? Artificial intelligence. Yeah. It's not an actual person. But
also transhumanism.
Yes.
I mean, it's freaky. You cannot make this stuff up.
I know. And Judy was saying that someone said that one of the people that come back from the dead might be one of these.
In the book of Revelation, the guy that comes back to life, it's going to be an AI. It's not going to be a human being. It's going to be, and we'll know all the answers to everything and can talk and all that.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The transhumanism. They want to somehow implant your brain waves into a machine and keep yourself alive somehow. Oh, I mean, I'm not explaining it very well.
That's good enough for me.
I mean, they want to be immortal.
Well, the other thing is that the AI, they know everything, but they know nothing.
It's all processed. Information that they've been fed.
Yeah.
You know, my grandma.
These machines, they teach them how to learn. And that's scary because they can go off on tangents where
there's no moral teaching, no moral.
You know, I don't know if anybody has seen, I don't know if I've even seen the entire movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it. But I Am Robot that Will Smith was in, he ended up in a world of just robots, and they were starting to learn, and they were starting to trying to kill him. It's just weird. My grandma, I remember, before she died, she said, I lived in the most amazing age of technology, going from no vehicles, horse and buggy, to landing on the moon. Think of what we've been through. Three channels on
and you turn it.
You had to get up. Phones, a rotary dial, and there are many kids that wouldn't know this. And we had to, you know, it was a community line at first. You had to.
Rotary dial.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Judy, you're old. But when you think of that to where what we're talking about right now, we're in the most amazing age of development. What are our kids? What are our grandkids going from here? The Lord has to come back.
That's what's so exciting about it. If knowledge is increasing and is available like that, the Lord's imminent.
Yeah.
He's just around the corner.
He's making it possible for, okay.
People who kill themselves.
And with AI, the Antichrist is going to have access to the whole world
right.
with just a touch of a button. Yeah. And you may not even, I better not go that far.
Well, when the second coming comes and Christ is going to be seen by everyone, we can see how that's going to happen. Technology is going to. We have our phones.
When you can make people come alive again.
Yeah.
When dead people can talk.
Okay, so we're going to feel smarter. What does the Bible say about us feeling like we're pretty smart with all this artificial intelligence? Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then just Proverbs 1 just talks about wisdom and where it comes from. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equality, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Everything has something to do with thinking. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire counsel. Summary, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You want to be really smart? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True wisdom. Point number 4, we develop an incorrect view of our personal image. Oh man, you know, young, once again, we don't care. I got a little paunch, I don't care anymore. You know, but the self-image of young people you feel sorry for them. This is tough for our younger generation. They see so much on the internet of how they are supposed to look, how they are supposed to act. The more we browse the internet, the more we are encouraged to compare ourselves to the whole world. And like we talked about before, that really fosters jealousy and envy in our hearts. He says in this little sub-chapter, when real life fails to measure up to the imagery ideal fostered by those collective images, it can lead to feelings of deep disappointment, discouragement, and depression. We always wonder, why are people so depressed today? Because they are looking at things that are not possible. You don't know what you're missing until you know what you're missing. I mean, they're viewing things that are not, that God never intended for them to even see or be a part of. It can also lead to jealousy, envy, grumbling, and ingratitude. We talk about the end times. One of the characteristics is they're not thankful. We always are looking for something better. This can happen to us as older ladies. I was trying to think, how does this apply to us? Well, I've heard some older ladies, if we watch too much Fox News or anything political, because we can get really wound up that they're idiots out there. Well, they might be, but if we're grumbling and slandering because of their stupidity, the Bible says we shouldn't be. We need to submit to the government.
How many million are on Donald Trump's?
88.9 million. And that's a 2012 estimate.
Oh.
So I bet it's much more. If once he tweets something, they're reading that. What kind of an influence that is? He's not the one that has the most, though. Katy Perry. She's a singer. She has like 100 and some million followers. She's a singer. Not good. It could be worse, but I mean, it's amazing. But that's what our young people are. Yeah. Yeah, I may look up some more of that. I did spend a lot of time on that, but I was just, who has the most followers? I was Googling it, of course. On social media. I'm getting all kinds of tweet. I don't have Twitter, so I don't know. But I Googled that information. You know, I'm terrible because I'm a sucker with Amazon. You know, I don't shop much anymore. I just click and it comes to my door. You know, they make it easy for us. We just got to be disciplined with our mind.
AI knows.
Well, I tell you, the only thing they'll have on me is rubber bands. I always, because of the paper out, I'm always ordering rubber bands. I can never find bulk rubber bands in town. I digress. Last thing. Well, what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3, your adornment must be not merely external. Don't worry about how you're supposed to look. Braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. These discontent young women need to memorize this verse. What is pleasing to God is a gentle and quiet spirit. Quit worrying about how you look. It's not that important to the Lord. It's the hidden person of the heart. And not, it doesn't, I had to put in 1 Samuel 16 because when Samuel was looking for King David, they had all these nice looking guys, and it just says in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We just got to emphasize that with our young people. God doesn't care about it. Sorry. All right, and then point number 5, we think we are more important than we are. As we share information, often about ourselves on social media, it distorts our view of ourselves, and we think we have much more influence than we do. He says in his little paragraph, for those dissatisfied with their daily lives, social media platforms offer a powerful escape. We look for meaning in our own lives, and we do that by preoccupying ourselves with the lives of others. And that could be done by commenting constantly on everything that comes across the Facebook page or any other social media outlet. We're going to be held accountable for what we say and how we say it. But more importantly, we can't get so addicted to seeing everyone's comment on things that we really can't see what reality is and what's really important to the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 2, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. How often do you see that on social media? I can't say that I've ever seen it. Maybe in some biblical thing. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interest of others. And why do we do that? We have this attitude in ourselves because it was also in Christ Jesus. In verse 12 in Philippians 2, it says, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's just a humility and a submission that you just don't see on social media. For it is God who is at work in you for both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then 1 Timothy, it talks about putting widows on a list, but the reason I'm putting this on here is, what are we preventing by encouraging widows to get busy and maybe remarry? Jumping down to verse 13, at the same time, they also learn to be idle. They go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things that are not proper to mention. We may not go house to house, but we are going site to site, and we're going. I'm going to Kathy's site and writing this and gossiping about this. And I'm going. That's exactly what we're doing. You know, we're not going house to house, but we are using, we're being idle. And when we're idle, we do things that are not pleasing to the Lord. So watch, this was a quote that I just happened to scroll across. It says, watch the signs. This was on social media, okay? Watch the signs that social media is becoming an unhealthy escape for in your life. It is tempting to mindlessly click and scroll to avoid responsibilities that are overwhelming or the painful emotions that are plaguing you. Choose instead to run to the only one who can truly strengthen you in your weakness and heal your hurting heart. So it was a biblical post, but it, you know, we have a tendency to use it as an escape for us. So just the negative influence, we can be really positive with what we say. We can make comments that are helpful. And it just was encouraging to me that when I just haven't had time to be on it much lately, Facebook. But if I'm ever on it, and even when I'm liking something or putting a comment, usually like Steve and Sandy's anniversary she just put advertisement, please feel free to come and get a cupcake and stuff, you know, congratulations. That's very encouraging. If I could say something that can be encouraging to them, then that's what I need to be about. So, any thoughts? All right. Well, you got any thoughts?
You pretty much hit them all. I do think the visual thing is dangerous. I talked to someone that had been into pornography stuff. And they said, you know, you can have those, you can get even on, and I remember when I was working out at BOSS, the internet was kind of new, and one of the guys was typing in something, and he mistyped what he was looking for, and he ended up on a porn site. And he right away just closed it and went and told our IT guy, it's going to show that my computer
that's
was
great that
here.
You did that.
Yeah. And I was typing this, and I got there.
That actually happened to me one time, too.
But the problem can be you can get these visuals, and visual things stay in your minds. Why is everyone glued to videos? I don't understand. I don't have time to sit and watch videos. I don't get the whole video thing. But I think the danger is you get that in your mind, and it stays there even longer than something you read and think about. But I think you've reinforced a lot of things. It creates, you know, the problem with the media is social media too. It creates this unreal world that people live in and think
that's the problem.
That they have all these relationships they don't. And then when they're trying to have a relationship with their phone, it doesn't work. Because a couple weeks ago, I think you weren't here, and I mentioned that I saw this news newscast. It was a news story, actually on the TV on news. But it was about mental health issues caused by isolationism, mm-hmm. caused by people living
yep.
with their phones. And it does. And that's why we have depression and all those things, because that's not a real relationship.
Right.
And we were built for relationships.
And it will fall short.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, you confirmed yeah. a lot of those.
It was good. It was good for me to read through that chapter. I thought he had some good things.
I was thinking too, is like, what is the central attraction to what the phone makes available to us? Because I've also understood, like with counseling too, they have found people are more open, more willing to speak when it's through some kind of technology rather than nose to nose. They just seem to have that freedom. Why is that so? And I was wondering, possibly the basis of all this attraction is I'm the center of the world. It's me, me, me. I'm controlling this world, and I'm evaluating all other people that I'm friends with. And I'm a god of my world. It's I'm just throwing an idea out.
Yeah, there's some people that do communicate much better with, in written form than they can verbally. There's something to be said for that, that some people have a hard time talking to someone face-to-face. Let me write you a letter. I'll be able to express it more. There are people like that out there. But they've got to learn how to be able to communicate with people.
I'm not doing so much writing. It's just, if you've got this technology, you're talking to an AI, in a sense, not a real person. Because it's even like with the library where they've got the children reading to a dog. They have learned that the children are more relaxed, enjoy it more, succeed better, because they're doing it with a dog. The dog is not there to judge them, to comment on what they're doing. So yeah. It gives them that freedom. So I'm just trying to see how that would be similar to us using our phones and communicating with people in different ways. There's nobody to judge me. I judge them. There's just, it's all centered on me.
Right.
And I'm a god of my own world.
My communicating with people through my phone is convenience. It's not anything in depth. If I want to talk about anything in depth, I want to talk to them in person for the most part. But why do I go to my phone? Why do I go to my phone and look at stuff? Well, right now, okay, what came up on my phone while we were sitting here? The weather app just gave me a highlight. It says the ocean scientists were stunned as it appeared. Well, what is it? So I click on that, and then it takes me to the weather app. You know, there's little things that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure that you are in control with what you're putting in your head. It's just like everything else. We can read a romance novel, and we're not putting in into our head proper things. It's just, you just have to guard your hearts and guard your minds. So.
Well, and I know some of my friends, they text their kids about issues, you know, and I'm just cringing, thinking, it's like you said.
But that's the only way they can communicate, because when they get home, they haven't developed a relationship with them, right, and that's the only way they can communicate.
Well, these are adult kids, they're not at home anymore, and I have had enough problems, people taking me wrong, nose to nose. You know, I'm so concerned.
Totally agree. What I say could be taken incorrectly. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah. You have no tone. There's no tone in your text. You're making that all up in your mind when you're talking about an issue.
I agree. I have a tough time enough communicating clearly to who I want to communicate face to face. All right. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Amazing technology that you've allowed to be developed. And we praise you for even this chapter to remind us of the dangers, not to get sucked in to the amazement of the information that we have at our fingertips, but that we use it in a way that will be pleasing to you. Help us to be encouraging to others to use technology in a way that would please you. And I just thank you that you have saved us from this world that's getting more complicated and more distant from you, that we would continue to be lights in this dark world. And I just thank you for these ladies that made the effort to come here. May you bless them the rest of the week. In your precious name, amen.